ever been in trouble, I don't want you to name what it was, all right? We don't have that much time today. But have you ever been in trouble? Yeah. All of us have had problems in some way, shape, or form. And in a way, we would all cry out to the Lord. We would believe there is one true God and there is a Savior. We would say, Hoshiana in Hebrew, save us now. Today's theme is based on that cry that was spoken a long, long time ago, but it's been repeated ever since. In fact, it was spoken before Jesus went into Jerusalem, and you read it in Psalm 118, because it was what the people would say regarding the temple. And the people, especially in celebration of the Passover, this is way after the destruction of Jerusalem, every year they would think about this psalm, and they would look toward the temple, the direction where the temple was, and they would think about it, and they would say, you know, this time next year, that God would save his people, restore Israel. That kind of thinking is sort of like me without glasses. Since I was 17, I haven't seen the eye chart. You know, back in the school days, and some of you people that are at least as old as I am, you remember the eye chart in school and it had a big E on there? The E did not exist. It was a smudge mark. Without glasses, I couldn't see any further than 10 feet in front of me. That is to read a big E. That's how close I would have to be. People without God can't see any further. Maybe as much as 10 feet in front of them. And spiritually, they can't see at all. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and then later to Joseph, he told them both that they were going to have a baby. Mary was told it was the Son of the Most High God, and that this child, they would name him Jesus. And Jesus in the New Testament is like Joshua in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, and the name means saves us. Jesus saves. So before his birth, there was this reference, this connection, that the one being born of Mary, the Son of God, there was this cry of Hosanna, save us now. And 33 years later, riding into Jerusalem, the people think they sort of get it. They ride into the he rides into the city, and they're shouting out the Hosanna, save us now. What's interesting is Jerusalem means, you know, the place or the city of peace. And what you have is a city where the King of Peace is riding in, and they're saying, save us. And before the week is out, they get pretty ornery. In fact, I'm right mean. They begin to shout, crucify him. It changes. The one who fed thousands, the one who healed, I don't know how many people, what the count would be, the one who walked on water and stilled the storms, the one who raised the dead. Indeed, he showed he had the power to save. But his mission was not to kick out the Romans. His mission wasn't to establish Israel as a physical nation on earth above every other nation. His mission was to save humanity. It went beyond the DNA of the genetic genes of being Jewish by ancestry. It went to the very heart, the very wicked heart, the very dead in sin heart. He came to save. Hosanna for our Palm Sunday is a great word, because it is a cry that we say to God today, that through Jesus Christ, save us, spare us. There are times our sins, we don't even notice them, but there are other times that our sin weighs upon us. Sometimes the sins of others weigh even heavier. We cry out to God, save us. And we're not looking for the feeding of the 5,000 all over again, or maybe a bigger crowd than that. We're not looking for Jesus to walk on water, although that would be cool to see. We're looking for the salvation of our soul. And so Hosanna, in this sense, is our cry to not just simply a king, but the king, our king. And that certainly contrasts with the time when Jesus was on trial and Pilate brings him out and the crowd starts saying, we have no king but Caesar. Hosanna for us, even this far after Easter, takes on a richer, deeper meaning as we see that God's plan of salvation has begun to unfold. And Jesus rides into the city to go up eventually to a hill called Calvary, and there he will be crucified. But we get to those later in the week. In worship services called Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. And then, of course, the great celebration of Easter. But Hosanna is not only our cry to the king, it is the cry of our kingdom. That God saves us and brings us into a new kingdom. I think in a sense that not only our nation, but many nations are stuck. They're spiritually blind and stuck. Whether you want to call it nationalism, just like the people of Israel back in the day, or whatever you want to name it, it's almost like we're fighting for a kingdom of freedom, and in doing so, we made a kingdom of chaos. In the school classroom, for example, all the students want to have it their way. So does the teacher, and it's not working out. The freedoms in the house, where the kids grow up and soon they build this vocabulary and the vocabulary gets very extensive. And it started really, really small and young with the word no. And then it builds from there. We want a kingdom of freedom where we can have it my way, my methods, my choices, my life. But that's not the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. He even told Pilate. Pilate asked him about that. And Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. It's a new kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's a really, really different kind of kingdom. It's a kingdom I can't wait to see. But I will wait until God calls me. But I'm looking forward to seeing that kingdom. Was visiting with a member this morning, and you know, all the descriptors of heaven, you know, about no war and no famine and no pestilence, and I thought the Bible should have the word no politics. What heaven is going to be is remarkable. And Jesus rides into Jerusalem to establish for our sake God's heavenly kingdom, an everlasting life. So like when Paul wrote in the New Testament, given these words by the Holy Spirit, you know, if I live, I live for Christ, and if I die, I die unto Christ, which is the one I choose. You and I on Palm Sunday get to renew our heart and our mind. Because we too, in times because of our flesh, we become the Israelites. And we focus on our life and our stuff and our man cave and our, you know, whatever our is, whatever that constitutes. And Christ didn't come so that stereotypes stereotyping things, men can have more tools. Now, I know I said that out loud, but, you know, Christ didn't come so that we could have more hobbies and have to work less. Christ didn't come so that we could have our interest, whatever that may be. Christ came that we may have life. And the things of this world many times over distract us from that life. The things we crave might cost us that life. Did you really mean the words today, Hosanna? Save us to your Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead to save you. And did you mean that, Hosanna, that this is the kingdom that you really live for? You know, there's the hymn, I'm but a stranger here. What's the rest of it? Heaven is my home. See, some of you know that. Do we really live for the kingdom, or are we stuck living for the here and the now? And we can only see physically and blindly, spiritually, the 10 feet in front of us. But God wants us to know there's more beyond that, and it's better and greater. And through your Savior, he establishes it once and for all. And the Holy Spirit calls us into this faith to walk in this newness of life, that our lifestyle, that our vocabulary, that our focus, our vision is Hosanna. Save us now. In God's answer, in Jesus, I have. Amen.